You are listening to BensTorah.com.
What I want to do is go through three points, three stages. First, I'm going to give a general, specific, a few aspects of different halachas that apply to Hanukkah, hopefully all in Maisa, with a little bit of background. Secondly, I'll try to end with a thought. And third of all, maybe we'll take questions of halacha l'maisa situations that are coming up in the coming week. Just an open question and answer about Hilchas Hanukkah. So the first thing that I'd like to speak about is halacha of women doing melacha during Hanukkah. Now, the reason why it's such a... The minhag is that women don't do melacha, and we'll talk about the parameters during halachas l'maisa. The reason why it's so troubling to me, from a conceptual perspective, is that if you look in the Gemara where Hanukkah is being established for the very first time, let me share with you the words of how the Gemara introduces what Hanukkah is and how it was introduced. There was a nes, you know about the stories. Says the Gemara, because of this nes, asa yomim tovim, what does the word yomtif mean? It can mean a lot of things, so a lot of different people. So the Gemara tells you what yomim tovim means. Yomim tovim behalel vehoda'ah. Of gratitude. Says Rashi, what is the point of saying that asom yomim tovim and halal lehoda? Don't think that there's anything wrong with doing malacha. No, you're allowed to do malacha. It's only a yomtiv for saying halal and saying al hanisim in hoda in modim during benching and during birchas hamas and shmona esrei. In other words, the Gemara itself is telling you that the very institution of Hanukkah is bedavka not to have an Isser Malacha. So that which there is a minhag that has developed, and it is a minhag Yisrael that is recorded in the Rishon, that women don't do Malacha, is just hard to understand how that comes out, when the whole point of the Gemara is to say that that's not the nature of this Yomtiv. Nevertheless, we will follow what our minhag is, and why is it that Mishnah Berurah points out that Nashim are nohagos to not do Malacha lefi shenasa neis al yadehem. Two reasons that are given. A, because Yehudis, later on in history, Yehudis are one of the saviors in the story in terms of getting the Syrian Greek. I always say Syrian Greek because I don't think I said this story publicly, did I? For the past 10 years, we had a wonderful babysitter in Washington Heights, Fula Musadakos. Any of you who know the suffix os know that that's a Greek suffix. So our children came home from preschool, first grade, second grade. Those evil Greeks! Those Greeks tried to keep us not the Torah. Here, come stay. Yeah, their babysitter who took care of them from the day they were born until the day that we moved here. You know, so we said, oh, no, we love Greeks. It's those Syrian Greeks that we, those Syrian Greeks. They didn't let us learn Torah. They didn't know those Syrian Greeks. So I have like a 3-year-old girl running around the house. Those Syrian Greeks! So that was one of the other reasons why women specifically is because of a specific zera that also before a woman would get married, the bishop would take her the night before they would get married. And then for those two reasons, women have a minhag to not do malacha while the neros are dolkos. Now, what is exactly the parameters of that? So the Mishnah Berurah says that the whole point of not doing malacha while the neros are lit, kedei lahakir sha'asur lehishtamesh la'ora. What happens if you're doing malacha? I mean, now it's sort of a moot point because we have lights all around and the candles are meaningless to us in a certain funny kind of way. But you need light to do whatever you want to do. If people are doing work in the house, that means that they're using the light that's being given off by whatever's there, by the menorahs, for example. And therefore, by desisting from malacha, that's indicating that I'm not getting any hana'ah from the light. That's one opinion. The Kaf HaChaim says another reason why the minhag was established to not do malacha during this time. And he says, because this is the time for halal and hodah. We should be praising Hashem, we should be focused, we should be thinking about doing the laundry and other mundane tasks that they're holy, but mundane. We shouldn't be thinking about all those other things when we're busy focusing on halal and hodah. So we have two reasons. We have the Mishnah Berurah saying that it's because we don't want to get hanah from the neros, and the Kaf HaChaim is saying that it's because we should be preoccupied with halal and hodah. There's a difference between these two reasons, these two rationales, and that is the following. is it only the first half hour, or does it extend as long as the candles are lit? If we assume that the only reason is, as the Mishnah Berurah writes, that's because it's prohibited to get hana, well, the prohibition of getting hana is only from the ikur chiyuv of mitzvos hadlakas near Chanukah, which is only the first half hour. And after that, it's permitted to get hana from the candles after the first half hour of their being lit, half hour after they're being lit in the nighttime. If you light early, it still means half hour after the nighttime, into the night. However, if you don't like the Kaf HaChayna, the reason is to be the halal of the hodah, that the whole reason why these candles are lit, Allah halal of the hodah, so perhaps even after the first half hour, we're still doing the Allah halal of the hodah, and therefore it would still be prohibited to do malacha into the night. So if you've ever noticed why women like, you know, filling up the cup, it's because they hold from the Kaf HaChayna. Of course, you say, yeah, the Chavitz, the Mishnah Berurah was a man. That's what he tells you. You could be Mekel, and after half an hour, you don't have to. But Lamaisa, we are Mekel, and after half an hour, one would be able to do Malacha. What are the parameters of the Malacha? I might have written it in the sheet that I wrote this week about the Hilchos of Chanukah, but the parameters that, this discussion, but the parameters I think that are most clear would be whatever is prohibited to do on Chol HaMoed. Great. What does that mean? Basically, whatever is something that involves work, that's unpleasant, and that's not litzorech for right now, that's what's off-limit. So for example, laundry, sewing, those things would be not appropriate to do. Cooking, however, setting a table, getting ready for a party, that is not included in the, so gentlemen, you should all be doing the laundry, and you should all be doing the sewing if you do want to ask your wives to be helping prepare for a meal. What about now that we have washing machines? Does that change anything? So Rabbi Yoshev says that even now that it's easier to wash, you don't have to go down to the river. Even though we have the convenience of washing machines in our basements, nevertheless, this iser would still nevertheless apply, and it's still not proper for a woman during that first half hour to be involved in laundry, ironing, sewing, and the like. But getting food ready or setting for a meal would be permitted. That's the first topic I wanted to speak about. I'd like to go now to the second topic. The second topic is very applicable, especially for people who work for a living, as opposed to people like rabbis who are home most of the day. And that is, I got a shaila 3 days ago, an email, one of the young ladies who I used to teach in the high school used to come to my shir, said, "Hi, Rabbi Orly, and I heard that you're not allowed to eat, you know, once the time for Hadlakas Neros comes, I don't get home from work till 7 o'clock, so what should I do?" I was thinking, wow, she gets home at 7 o'clock, that's really early. Nevertheless, what's going to be the halachas in terms of if Zman Hadlaka, which maybe we'll speak about in a few minutes, it starts at, let's say, 4:30, the earliest, which is Shkia, sunset is at 4:30. So the earliest Zman is 4:30, maybe 5, depending on your minhag, but 5:15 maybe. Does that mean starting from then I can't eat? What happens if I had a question, I had a nurse who was in my shir, and she asked me the same question. She has a 12-hour shift. She's not getting home till very late at night. Very late at night, till 11:30 at night. I think they switch at 11. So she's getting home at 11:30 at night, so she's going to light at 11:30. That means she can't eat anything from 5 o'clock till 7, till 11? I feel bad for those like 10 o'clock patients, you know? Please, eat, be makeup. So let's try to understand the parameters of doing malacha before lighting. So the halacha is that once the zman comes to do a mitzvah, as we know regarding many mitzvahs that occur at night, in terms of bedikas chametz, in terms of kriyas hamegillah, which is why even though we're fasting, we try if we can to wait till after kriyas hamegillah, near Chanukah, and all mitzvahs, before I perform the mitzvah, I'm not supposed to be doing malacha, including mitzvahs that happen in the morning, like lulav, shofar, and the like. So, therefore, one is not supposed to be doing malacha, one is not supposed to be eating, come Zman Hadlakas Neros, let's assume 4:35 p.m. this year. Now, before we get into the more specific details, what does eating mean? So the mistake that a lot of people make, which was the answer that I emailed to the young lady who emailed me, is that the iser of eating is only to have a su'uda, Because the concern is that a person's going to get distracted, they'll get involved in the food. If they had a thing like this, they'd certainly get involved in the food. And they'd be preoccupied, they might forget to do the mitzvah. Therefore, Chazal said, when time for a mitzvah comes, don't get involved in anything else until you do your mitzvah that you have to do. And therefore, the halacha would be, and this is how we pass, again, that snacks are taka, yes, permitted before a person lights. Even if the time has arrived, a person is permitted to eat snacks. That young lady who emailed me, that nurse who's on the floor till 11 o'clock at night, can have an apple, she can have a yogurt, she could maybe even get, a salad, we'll talk about it in a minute. Some people think of a salad as a meal, some people think of it as not a meal. Perhaps depending on the side of the room, we'll talk about that in a minute. So, snacks are definitely okay. The issue that we have to discuss is what's going to be the deal with actual seudos that don't have bread. Meaning any seuda that has a kviyas seuda with a hefty bit of mizonos, pizza, something that has bread involved, that's definitely going to be a problem come zman hadlakas neros. The question is, what about a seuda? I'm saying nowadays, we, Americh Khan, is like having, we can have our steak and our green beans and our potato souffle and our, broccoli, steamed broccoli, and we have a whole meal. We don't touch a piece of bread. So can I do that? Can I do that? Comes man hadlaka. After all, I'm not being kovei asuda in the classical sense on bread or on mizonos. So this gets into something of a more involved question. So I spoke to Rav Schefter in Yeshiva University about this. He says that it's taka going to be a problem. Now, that's interesting because the halacha is by before Kriyas Shema at night. Those people who go to a 10 o'clock Maariv, a 9:15 Maariv, an 8 o'clock Maariv regularly, I'm not talking to you. Because you have a set time you daven, so we're not worried you're going to forget. But somebody who usually davens at, when it's time to daven Maariv, they're not supposed to eat supper before they daven Maariv. So there the halacha is that they are allowed to eat if it's not going to involve bread. Yet here, we seem to be saying that even if you're eating a meal with all kinds of good foods, but no bread, it's going to be a problem. Why is it more of a problem here? This is a distinction that the Beir Halacha makes in Hilchas, not over here, but in Hilchas Bedikas Chametz, where we have a similar idea between Bedikas Chametz and Neros Chanukah. And that is the following. Bedikas Chametz and Neros Chanukah are not just a mitzvah that you're supposed to do at night. Rather, you're supposed to do it at the beginning of the night. Meaning, there's a set time. Hadlakas Neros is not the first night of Hanukkah, the second night of Hanukkah. No, Hadlakas Neros is at 5 p.m., 4:30 p.m., 4:40, 5:50, whatever you hold, which we'll talk about perhaps a little bit later. There's a set time for lighting Hanukkah candles. Once that time arrives, you shouldn't be even having more than anything. A snack would be okay, but having something like a meal without bread, a steak, a salad that you really, that you would buy as a dinner, that would be a problem. But just to have like a yogurt, just to have a fruit, that would be okay. As opposed to those mitzvahs that are not supposed to be at specific times, they're just, it's morning now, you should be, shaking a lulav. It's morning now, you should be blowing a shofar. It's nighttime now, you should be davening maariv. But there's no specific time in the night or in the day to do this mitzvah. There, we are more lenient and allow you to have a meal as long as there's no bread. So let's just boil this all down together, halacha l'maisa. We're coming at halacha l'maisa, is if a person is hungry, they can have a snack, but they should not have a meal, even if it's a meal of just, meat, chicken, rice, salad. Even that meal is a problem on Chanukah before Hadlakas Neros. Which brings us to a very nogea halacha l'maisa question. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Bidvaro. What happens if you're on the LIRR? I don't know. I didn't read the guidebook, but I'm assuming that it's illegal to light Hanukkah candles on the LIRR. Even if you were allowed, you should just know. The Poskim actually talk about lighting candles on the train, because in the olden days, you rented a berth with an E. You rented a berth, and you... the only one who left? Okay. You rented a berth, and for 3 days, you were on the Trans-Siberian Railroad from Yakutsk to Irkutsk or wherever else if you play Risk, So, if you have you know, 3 days on the train, so the poskim actually talk about the fact that it's mutter because you're like renting the berth, and therefore it's your house, but on, you know, and we, maybe you could argue that on a plane too. Not a good idea to light Hanukkah candles. Although I did hear, this is actually a big fascinating, I'm sorry, I'm going on a tangent right now, but I did hear, there's a whole discussion if you could be yotzei Hanukkah candles, b'shas hadchak, obviously, with plug-in. Okay, right, all those, you know, the Reform family conservative, they all plug in their menorahs. So, okay, we don't do that. But let's say there's no other option. A person's in a hospital. Could he or she make a bracha? Is there anything to rely on? So Reb Shlomo Zalman actually holds that it might be okay, but not with a plug in the wall, but with a flashlight. The difference is, because we want the Hanukkah candle to be somehow, what you're lighting to be somehow similar to a Nair. A Nair has all of the fuel contained in the battery, in the cell, that gives the light. When I plug something into the wall, there's no container of fuel to be doma, to be similar to that Nair that I'm trying to imitate, the Nair from the Beis HaMikdash, a Nair of a classical menorah. So therefore, Shlomo Zalman has a tremendous clue. He says, a bidi yevet, one can light their Hanukkah candles, if there's no other option, not with a plug-in, but with a flashlight that has battery contained inside. So picture the following. You go on a plane, and you're not going to be home at night. There's no one to light for you, which we'll talk about again a little bit later, perhaps. There are a lot of things later, right? We're going to feel scared. So maybe just like you should stand next to you or sit at your seat with a flashlight and flick your flashlight on. And, you know, people wonder, why do you have your flashlight on shining vertically? You say, you know, Pir Simonisa. I don't know what you'll say, but is there a reason to do that? So that's good. We'll drink a little bit. Is there Pir Simonisa? So the answer is, if it's not your house, there's no din to light a Hanukkah candle. So you're not being maviach anything. You're not gaining anything by holding on that flashlight. Even if we hold flashlights do work, you don't have a bias. The mitzvah of Hanukkah candles is ner ish ubeisu. It's a ner in the bias. Without a bias, on a plane, for example, one wouldn't have that possibility. So where are we going? We're talking about the following question. We're talking about what happens if you're on the way home. Thank you. What happens if you're on the way home, you're on the LIRR, which is clearly not your bias, so you can't ride on the LIRR. Even if you could light on the LIRR, you certainly can't light on a subway. And if you're not going to be home anyway, Bisman, so I had this shiloh. When I was coming home from high school, I spent an hour, let's say we got out of school at 6:15, I got home at 7:15. High school kid at 6:15 is starving, right? So could I have a snack? Well, snacks are a mut, I didn't realize that then. But what I was always wondering, could I eat if I'm not going to be home anyway? So the answer is as follows. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Shechter told me that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky wrote that this is permitted because the whole point is that you're gonna forget to light. You shouldn't get involved in other things before you light. You're on the train and you have to get off. It's not like you're gonna like take it to the last stop and walk outside and then say, okay, what should I do now? You have to get off your train at some point. You have to go home. You're going home straight to light. So of course you should eat because there's no like the whole point is you shouldn't delay it. Okay, I'm not delaying it. I'm on the train anyway. But Rav Shechter said that the chora, that svara, is not really how we. When we deal with derabbanans, usually they don't work like that. If something's mutter or it's aser, it's not, well, I can't do it anyway, so therefore, let's just make it mutter. So therefore, Rav Shechter thought that the minhag olam is not that just because you can't do it right now, you can't eat, you can't light the candles because you're on the train home, you're on the bus ride home. Rav Shechter thought that that would not be something that would be permitted, and therefore one would not be able to have a meal. But halacha l'maaseh, of course, a snack is going to be permitted. Besides eating, there's also an issue of learning. We're worried people get involved in food. We're also worried people get involved in learning. Halavai. So the question that was raised that Rav Nissen Karelitz from Bnei Brak asks is, what about if you're learning Hilchos Chanukah? What's the whole reason why we're not supposed to be doing other things before I light candles? Because I'm going to forget to light. But I'm learning Hilchus, you know, I'm learning Hilchus Hadlak Isneros right now. Do I have to be worried that I'm going to forget to light when I'm doing exactly, you know, I'm learning those halachos? So Rav Nissen Karelitz suggests that if you're actually, we have precedent for this. We have precedent for this. Where do we have precedent of whether or not a certain time, if somebody is not going to be, a person should not learn because we're worried that by their learning they're going to do something wrong? In Shabbos, the Mishnah says explicitly in the beginning of the Mishnah of Shabbos that it, when they used to learn to a ner does not mean a candle. A ner means a lamp. That means a lamp has an area where there's a container of fuel, a wick coming out, and what happens if it flickers? You just tilt it a little bit to draw that pool of oil on the bottom to be drawn towards the wick more successfully. So if a person's learning, they're learning, and there's a little ner over there, and they can't see, it's a little hard, Tosfos has small letters, they'll just inadvertently tip it, so they'll be able to see, so the light will rise up, they'll be able to see it better. Says the Mishnah, therefore one is not permitted lil mod la'or haner on Shabbos. However, in that context, the poskim talk about what happens if you're learning Hilchos Shabbos. So are we worried that while you're learning about Hilchos Shabbos, that you'll also forget yourself and violate Shabbos? So there the poskim say that it's actually permitted. That we're not worried you're going to inadvertently, you know, tip something over, but well, to help learn Shabbos better if you're involved in learning Hilchos Shabbos. So the Rebbeinu Karmelitz therefore says that at even if this man would come and we're not allowed to eat, we're not allowed to learn, but if it would be learning for Hilchos Chanukah, that would be permitted. The last part of tonight's shir is perhaps the most important in terms of halacha lemaisa. I'd like to talk about a few scenarios, and then we'll have a few minutes to ask questions about some other scenarios that I'm not covering. What happens if you have a wedding? What happens if you're going to a Chanukah party? What happens if you have a flight over Chanukah? When should you lie? Now let's just back up. Let's assume, and this is not going to be my topic for now, but there's a discussion when Zman Hadlaka Sneros is. For argument's sake, let's say the following. There are three primary shitas. There's Shkia, that's the Rambam and the Gra. There's Tzeisa Kochavim, Chasidim usually, I think, do Tzeisa Kochavim. And then there are all the opinions in the middle. Some hold 10 minutes, 18 minutes, 25 minutes after Shkia, 15 minutes before Tzeisa Kochavim. But let's just group them all together. So the range is either 4:30 at the earliest or 5:15 at the latest. One of those, somewhere in that sandwich, is the right time to light Hadlakas Neros. And if a person knows what their minhag is, you're right. But if a person knows what their minhag is, they should follow their minhag. If they don't know what their minhag is, I advise you to light somewhere between 10 minutes and 25 minutes after Shkia for various reasons, not for now. So let's start with this question. A person has a wedding, a 5 o'clock wedding. Now, if there's a 5 o'clock wedding, come on in, plenty of room. I'm not sure where, but Baruch Hashem. If there's a 5 o'clock wedding and you want to leave the house at 4 o'clock to get to a 5 o'clock wedding, so if you're leaving at 4 o'clock, so you're not going to be home at the right time to do Hadlakas Neros. So you have two options. You could either light earlier at 4 o'clock before you go, or you could wait till late at night, 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night, when you come home to do Hadlakas Neros. So what should be better? So it depends. Let's start like this. If you live in the time of the Gemara, well, people were only on the streets for half an hour after it got dark. Half an hour after it got dark, that's as long as people were out on the streets for. Nowadays, well, it really depends on where you live. You know, some streets in this neighborhood, it's, you know, on Central, it's much more busy late at night. On some cul-de-sacs around here, it's much more quiet, which is also very important for Hilchos Yichud. If a person's going on a date and they have to drop off somebody who lives on a quiet cul-de-sac where there are no people out after, you know, 10 p.m., so that's going to be an issue that has to be addressed when they, you know, the fellow drops her off on that quiet cul-de-sac. But that's not for our discussion right now. So if my option, halacha is as follows, that really I'm allowed to light as early as sunset, as shkia, 4:30. If need be, I'm allowed to light plag hamincha, which is, without getting into why, 3:30 this year. 3:30. So if I need to, I could light as early as 3:30. Really, I'm supposed to light at 4:30. Now, the question is, should I rely on that leniency and light 3:30 to 4:30? Or should I light when I come back at 11 o'clock? Now, what are the ups and downs? On one hand, if you light at 3:30, or 4 o'clock, let's say, you could have enough oil there that it will last half an hour, certainly till 4:30 when you're supposed to, which is the ideal time. You can have it last even more than that, an extra half hour into the night. Put like an hour, hour and a half of oil in, and then you have your candles being lit at, you're not lighting them at the right time, you're lighting them a little bit early, but it's still okay. Just like you could light Shabbos candles as early as Plag HaMincha at 3:30, so too you could light Hanukkah candles if you need to as early as 3:30. On the other hand, in the time of the Gemara, that would be the only option because, you know, half an hour after it gets dark, no one's on the streets. Nowadays, people are on the streets. So nowadays, I would definitely say better to light at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night if there are people on the streets than to light at that b'dieved time from 3:30 to 4:30. What happens if you live on that cul-de-sac? That's going to be a little more complicated. Meaning, you know, it is after Techaregum and Hashuk, but it's just you, one person at home, one person, their wife or a kid. So then the question is much tougher. Should we say just light in your house for your own family, which is okay nowadays? Or should we say light in that 3:30, 4:30 b'dieved kind of lighting time? So the Shevet HaLevi writes that it's better to light late at night for the family, even after Techel Regem and Hashuk, even after there's nobody on the streets, it's still better to light late at night for your family rather than to light at this b'dieved time from 3:30 to 4:30. Any questions about that scenario? Yeah, so for that reason, Rav Shechter actually argues on what I just told you. So Rav Shechter says you're not going to be able to eat dinner, so you're going to go to a wedding. Exactly. That's right. So for that reason, Rav Shechter says if it's going to don't wash, come on.
You're home
at his mom. You're home at 4 o'clock. You could light at 4 o'clock. No, Yaakov says you can't get home any. You can't do it anyway. Here you can light at 4 o'clock. Oh, if you're going straight, right? If you're going straight from work to a wedding, okay. So if you're going straight from work to a wedding, let's think about this.
I'm sorry.
If you're going straight from work to a wedding, so what's the option?
You weren't at home.
There's no other option.
Right.
The only option is
to forget. You're not getting straight.
Okay, so the halacha is if a person is going straight from work to a wedding, we are concerned that you might get involved in the food, you might drink a little bit too much.
But you're not at home. So you know that as soon as you get home,
No, but you're not on your way home. You're on the way to a wedding and you're getting ready to party.
Right.
So therefore, the halacha would be that a person should set an alarm. In the olden days, they said, tell somebody to remind you. Nowadays, we don't talk to people, we just play with our phones. So nowadays, the halacha has changed, and we're supposed to set an alarm, or we should send ourselves an email on auto send for 11 p.m., and we'll get ourselves an email, and then we'll remember that we have to light candles. That would be halacha l'maisa, if we're going straight from work to a wedding. Let's talk about just one or two other cases.
Should you wash at the wedding?
Yeah, you can wash at the wedding, as long as you set yourself an alarm. Yes. Let's talk about another case. Let's say you have a flight. Let's say you're leaving and you're not coming home because you're going somewhere for a trip or for, the schools have 2-3 days of vacation over the next weekend. So maybe someone's going away for a day or two. And they're leaving. So what time are they leaving? If they're leaving at 5 o'clock, or 4:30, once it's Shki, of course, at 4:30 they should be lighting candles, because that's the right Zman. Light your candles and then leave. Oh, you don't want there to be a fire? Okay, work it out, find somebody who will watch your house for you, babysit your house. The question will be, let's say I'm leaving, I have a flight, and when I want to leave my house at 3:30, 3:45, 4 o'clock, it's not Shki yet, but what's my other option? I don't have another option. So when there's no other option, because I'm not going to be home later in the evening, I have to rely on this b'dieved time, and yes, light from Plag HaMincha, even though it's a b'dieved time from 3:30 on, even if 3:30 till 4:30, that is the necessary, that is what I should do, because I don't have any other options. There is another option. Oh, that's the other option. So I got this Shaila 3 years ago. It was a crazy Shaila. Somebody called me from the airport on Hanukkah. They were going to Israel. And they left their house. I don't remember when they left their house, but they left their house. I think she was home Bizman Hadlaka. I think the woman was home Bizman Hadlaka. She was going to meet her husband who was going straight from work to the airport. So the proper thing would have done is that she should have lit for her family at Zman and then met her husband at the airport. That would have been ideal. They didn't do that. So now the question was, they were on the airplane. They were going to the airport. Now, again, lighting fires in airports, definitely not a good idea, especially if you're wearing a yarmulke, and even if you're not wearing a yarmulke, not such a good idea. So the question was, let them, well, the suggestion was, which was what I told them, that they should appoint a shaliach to go into their house and light candles on their behalf. Because this is not just a mitzvah. First of all, a shliach is as though you're doing it. And second of all, this is better than a regular case of a shliach, because this is not a mitzvah in a person. This is a mitzvah in a bias, near ishu beisu. It's a mitzvah in a bias. Which is why many poskim say if a husband's going to come home very late at night after there's no one walking the streets, after Tichel Regem and Hashuk, it might be better, according to many poskim, that the wife should light at in their home on his behalf. Bizman, again, I'm not talking if she's going to do it after this mitzvah. If she's going to be able to light at 4:30, 5, whatever you hold, at the right Zman, that might be better than him lighting at 11:30 at night when he comes home after a long day at work. One last situation, and then we'll open the floor for 5 minutes of questions. What happens if you're going to be leaving your house and you're going to sleep at a friend's house? Meaning you're not going into an airplane where you're not going to be able to light at all for that, you know, for that whole night. You're going to somebody else's house. So if you're leaving your house at 4:30, 5, so you should light before you leave. Again, get a babysitter if you're worried about the drapes and the fire. A light sitter, not a babysitter. A candle sitter or something like that. You should light if you can. Or light one tea light instead of 8 candles if you want to be safer. Light just a small amount of oil just to last a little bit to be safer. But do whatever you think you have to do for safety. I should always put that dispensation out there. Of course, safety comes first. And you're going to come back. You're not coming back. You're going to be at your friend's house at 11 o'clock at night. You're driving. You're leaving here at, we'll talk about it in a minute when, and you're getting to your friend's house in Rochester, in Syracuse, at 10:30 at night. So here, let's see. What time are you leaving? Let's say you're leaving at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 3 o'clock in the afternoon is before plug. You can't light there. It's afternoon. It's nothing to, there's no concept of lighting. So therefore, you'll definitely, you're at a guest house. What happens when you're a guest? We're not going to talk about that tonight because that's too long. If you're at a guest from somebody's house, then that's called achsanai. You're a guest being hosted by a host. We pass that you are allowed to light a candle if you're a guest at somebody's house. And therefore, you'll just not light before you leave at 3 o'clock because you can't. There's no hadlakas nayas at 3 o'clock. When you get to the host's house, you will light a candle and you'll make a bracha. That's what many poskim hold. What happens if you are leaving at 3:31, right? Plug is at 3:30. You're leaving at 3:31, 3:40, 4 o'clock, 4:15. So then you're in a bind. On one hand, maybe you should light at this bidyevet early time from 3:30 to 4:30, but plug hamincha time. On the other hand, maybe why light before this man? Light when it is man, 11 o'clock, but it's not your house. So that is a good question. How do we hold? I think we hold there that it would probably be better to light at your host's house. It would probably be better to light at your host's house because there, that which you could light as a guest in a host's house is an explicit gemara that says it's mutter. Lighting at this early time between 3:30 and 4:30, plag mincha is something that not all poskim hold, and therefore we try to avoid doing that as much as we can. I would love to take 5 minutes of questions if people have specific permutations of what we talked about over the past few minutes. Yeah. The question is, what happens if somebody's a guest for Shabbos and they're eating in one place and sleeping in another place? So what's the definition of these guests' home? They're not home. So they have to define their home in one of two ways, either where they're eating or where they're sleeping. In such a case, the Ramah says explicitly that the definition of a Jew's home is where you eat, of course. I said a Jew's home. The question is, if somebody is going to be away for Shabbos, and they could either light at a good time to light, at a proper time to light, early Motzi Shabbos, or when they get home, wherever they're getting at, 10, 11 o'clock at night. So there, that That's a machloka. So Shlomo Zalman said that it is proper. One second, who is that a machlokas between? Shlomo Zalman said, so some people are machmer and say, you should have a malavam, excuse me, you should have a malavam malka in the place where you were for Shabbos. So this way it's as though you're being koveya, you're establishing yourself as continuing to live in that home where you were for Shabbos. And since you did that, you had your malavam malka and you're still there, then you should light candles where you were for Shabbos. Shlomo Zalman says you don't have to do that. Shlomo Zalman says that you could just light where you were. Other poskim that say that you have to, so you have to ask your rabbi.
Light where you were, they would get your job.
I'm sorry, other poskim say you could light when you get home. Yeah.
You know, the variant of that would be, let's say, you're not just coming in just for, let's say, tomorrow, you're coming in for a party.
Okay, excellent question. What happens tomorrow? Well, next Sunday. Everyone's going to have parties next Sunday. A lot of people are going to have parties next Sunday. So I've been pushing my family, Baruch Hashem, we've been successful for the past few years, that parties are scheduled so that people could light bizman. Why? Because there's only one day a year that we actually light bizman, and that's Sunday. Friday, we're home, but you can't light bizman because you have to light before it's Shabbos. Every other day of the week, you have to light after the proper bizman because you're at work. So one day a year, you could actually light bizman, just Sunday, but we have the Hanukkah party. So I urge all of you, if you are hosting Hanukkah parties or you're going to Hanukkah parties and it's within your ability, it's within your ability. Now, one thing that's very important is that in Hilchos Hadlokos Neros Hanukkah, there's a question. What's more valuable? We'll finish with this point and then we'll be zocha to other mitzvahs that are awaiting us. What is more important? Is it more important to light Shabbos candles or more important to light Hanukkah candles? If you can't afford both. So the Gemara says explicitly that it's more important to light Shabbos candles because Shalom Bayis is more important than whatever the Hanukkah candles provide for us. And Shabbos candles, nowadays we don't understand why. What's there, the mystical thing about Shabbos candles that... No, if you didn't light Shabbos candles and you didn't have electricity, you'd trip over everybody and you'd stub your toe and you'd scream at whoever you're angry at. That's called Shalom Bayis. But nevertheless, we do have lights nowadays, and perhaps all the lights that we light are part of our Hadlokas Neros Shabbos nowadays, in a certain sense. And therefore, Shalom Bayis takes precedence over lighting Hanukkah candles. And therefore, if you want to adjust the time of your Hanukkah party, but it's going to cause fighting and argument, Shalom Bayis comes first, you'll light when you get home. But if you can arrange that you're able to light Bizman one day a year, it's the only day of Hanukkah you can, I urge you to try to do so.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.